Hey, what's up, friends? I'm Vince Del Monte, father, husband, and the OG of online fitness marketing. For more than a decade, I've been committed to helping skinny guys pack on muscle. And after building multiple seven-figure online fitness businesses, I've achieved freedom and financial security through mentorship, hard work, and my passion for fitness. And I want to help you do the same. Recently, I've built the best mastermind coaching program that exists for fitness professionals by giving you the shortest, no BS path to grow to 6, 7, and even 8 figures, regardless of your starting level. My coaching was designed to give you the skills, systems, and support to become an industry mover and shaker and build the business and life of your dreams. Hey, welcome back to the Vince Del Monte podcast show. So what we're doing here today is breaking down an Instagram post that got quite a bit of engagement. I also posted it on my Facebook as well as sent out an email, and I got quite a few private messages and quite a few voice notes. And if you didn't see it, I'm going to walk you through it because some of the bullets, I just kind of, you know, spared the details, but I thought I'd just kind of unpack some of the challenges, what could be seen as negatives, just flat out negatives. Sometimes in life, it's not easy to see the positive in anything. It's just, no, that's just not good. And when we take a step back and apply the filter of gratitude, which we're going to discuss today, we can start to see positives. So I thought I would just share openly. It's something that I feel has been something that's helped me connect with a broader audience. It's something that a lot of people tell me they appreciate a lot about me. And I want you to know it's not easy for me to do this. There's always resistance and there's always hesitancy for me to come on and share that this has been the hardest year of my life. And notice how I said that definitively. It's not, it's definitely up there. No, this has been the hardest year of my life, flat out. And when you share that, you open yourself up to a lot of perhaps criticism. There's fear associated with that. People start to wonder, is Vince okay? Is Vince stable? Is Vince running a ship that I want to get on? So you start to have a lot of scary feelings. And what I've learned is one of the best ways to connect with people, which is what you ultimately need in order to have a foundation of support to achieve your goals, is authenticity and trust. And authenticity and trust, and the other one, vulnerability, lead to connection. I learned this from my behavioral change coach, Annie Yach, and she has really helped me understand this, and it couldn't be more applicable right now. And I wanted to walk you through these negatives that the Del Montes have been facing, and some of them are personal, some of them are professional. And you always, as a public figure, as somebody whose reputation is crucial in attracting people, you wonder, like, how much do I share? How much do I share? And I believe that transparency helps people relate to you with your weaknesses. I believe that people also seeing you for your strengths is what people would admire you on. But when people hear about your weaknesses, they have much more connection. So the attempt of this podcast is to connect with you, to relate to more of you, and just let you know that hopefully you're reassured by the end of this podcast that if you're going through your own struggles, your own difficulties, if you feel like there's a lot of unanswered questions in your life, you're not alone. It sometimes feels like the guys that we look up to are invincible. I'll just tell you, nobody's shit smells pretty, okay? And everybody's dealing with their own shit, okay? Excuse my French, but I think sometimes we think that sometimes these people we look up to, their shit smells like roses. It does not, all right? They might just be better liars, better disguisers, better at wearing a fig leaf. And I want to reassure you that it doesn't matter really what's going on in their life anyways. They're on their own journey. They're on their own path. They're in their own lane. And just be happy for the blessings and the lessons that God's doing in their life, and be extra grateful for what's going on in your life. So without further ado, It's probably the longest intro of all time, but that's sometimes what happens when Vince is on the mic by himself. I'm going to dig into seven negatives that I've turned into positives through the power of gratitude. So the very first thing is, what is gratitude? What's your definition of gratitude? Gratitude is your ability to reframe circumstances. At least that's my definition. Your ability to reframe your circumstances. All right. It's all about your frame of reference. It's how you're looking at a situation. And what I have found, and this is primarily because of my faith, I am a man of God. I'm a Christ follower. I'm biblically anchored. I do my best to live by these principles and not just to say it. I got to work, a lot of work still to do, but this is what makes me who I am. And through my faith, what I've learned is when you take a moment to start reframing your circumstances, when you begin to practice gratitude, you'll start to see how far God's brought you and what He saved you from. And when I put this filter on, I thought I'd write this post and just apply this filter to each of these situations. What positive came from this perceived negative? And even if there's no positive in the world, maybe there's something going on in your life where it's just, you're just full of anger and let down and disappointment and just real feelings of all sorts of negative feelings. What do you do? What do you do? My advice for you is just take one step into a direction that allows you to see something differently. You can't control what you feel, but you can control what you focus on. Write that down. You can't control what you feel, but you can control what you focus on. And what you focus on expands. So if you're experiencing negative feelings, ask yourself, how could I reframe this circumstance? And look at it from a lens of, what has God brought to me? And what has He saved me from? You guys ready to do this? I feel that this is the ultimate exercise to getting grateful really quick. And if you can live in a state of gratitude, a state of growth, a state of lessons, a state of winning, then you're going to have a great day every day, no matter what. All right. And I know this sounds nice, Vince, but you won't believe what I'm going through right now. Or Vince, you have no idea my situation. And Vince, you have no idea, you know, what we're experiencing again and what we're still going through. I hear you. I'm right there with you. Some of the stuff I'm about to share with you is stuff that is not the first time I've dealt with this. I have been here before. This is not the first time I have dealt with some of this stuff. So what do? You blame? You cry? You make excuses? I don't see anything that ever trumps gratitude. I have never, ever been convinced by a single argument by anybody that gratitude isn't the answer. So with that being said, let's dive in. So number one, here are some hard to swallow experiences from this past year that I am now grateful for. Number one, our green card is 18 months backed up. 18 months. Our green card is at the very bottom of the pile. And the green card that we're applying for has an 18-month wait. And there's two categories within the green card. There is something called family unification and then employment. So our green card is around employment. And employment is at the very bottom of the pile of family unification. So not only am I at the back of the line, but I'm at the back of the line. I'm the very back of the line. All right. And you think they just usher us right in for, you know, who I am and what I do and what I'm going to be bringing to the economy? It's completely counterintuitive. And this has created a lot of doubt. A lot of doubt. Flavie and I, like, we didn't have the conversation for a long time, but recently, are we making the right decision? Maybe this is a sign to quit. Maybe we shouldn't be taking our kids away from their cousins and taking them away from their grandparents. Maybe we completely missed something along the ways. Maybe this is a sign to quit. Maybe this is the wrong decision. Maybe we shouldn't have done this. Maybe we got too excited. Maybe we should just stay. And the way I frame this entire situation positively is that this is an opportunity, one, to spend more time with our family. And God is teaching me that His timeline is the best. Not my timeline, not Flavia's timeline, but God's timeline. And that His timing is the best. And that we've had to put more faithfulness in Him than ever, which is building my faithfulness muscles. I'm becoming more faithful. I'm becoming more trusting because right now, this is out of my hands. There's no, hey, Vince, can't you like throw some money at somebody? Is there not like a fast lane pass? No, we already done that. There's a line to get your thing approved quicker, but not to actually get to the front of the line. Now, I'd like to share an update with you. I didn't share this in the Instagram post. So what we've just found out is that we can get stateside sooner than we thought by applying for a different visa. And I found this out by obviously starting to ask questions and people who've gone through this and finally getting an introduction to someone who says, I got somebody who might be able to help. And I won't go into all the details, but the very first thing I said is, how come my immigration lawyer didn't know this? How come my immigration lawyer didn't know this? You feel like a complete idiot. How come my immigration lawyer didn't know this? And I was saying it just like out of frustration. He answered the question like literally. I'm not too sure, actually. I wouldn't be able to comment on that. And hey, things happen for a certain reason. And I don't know why. Can't tell you. You know the famous saying, life only makes sense when you watch it in reverse. Maybe I'll have a better answer for you in the future, but not all things are meant to be known as well. Maybe this is just an entire test to just trust God and that His timeline is the best, not my timeline. It's going to happen when it happens. So through this process, we've also found that there might be a way to get there sooner and then reapply for the green card once we get stateside, which is a massive breath of fresh air. It hasn't officially happened yet, but this entire process has just taught me to also, I could throw in a new lesson here, is to trust who you're getting information from, but you need to verify. Right? When you throw money at a lawyer, you figure lawyers know everything. How could there be a lawyer that doesn't know everything, right? Just like there's great doctors and good doctors, great lawyers and good lawyers, right? There's great teachers and there's good teachers, right? Not all professions are created equal. So this is reinforced also, hey, when you're going through the process, trust, but it helps to verify. And we're getting verification on if we're in the right lineup. And we found out that there is a way to get stateside and then go through a different lineup. So a little update for you on that. Continue to pray for us. So that's number one. Number two is saying goodbye to key team members. And if anybody here has ever built a team, even if it's a two-man team, a 10-man team, a 20 to 30-man team, you develop relationships with people. And the relationships become far more than just transactional. They become friendships and they become people who are part of your life, who you do life with, you open up to, and it's not just business. At least it's not in my world. I develop connections with people and letting go of people, saying goodbye to people for whatever reason, it's not easy. It's never easy and it's hard. It's sad. It can start to make you question everything about yourself. Do I have what it takes to lead? Is my vision big enough? Am I emotionally stable enough to lead this organization? Maybe I should just settle. Maybe I don't have what it takes to hit these goals because to hit these goals, I need a larger team and I need a higher functioning team. I need a team that's even more ambitious than ever. And you start to wonder, maybe it's not even worth it. Why don't I just relax? Why don't I go backwards? Why don't I just settle in here? What's wrong with what I'm doing right now? Running a multi seven figure business. What's wrong with that's fantastic. Why do I need an 8-figure plus business? Like why? I've already generated tens of millions of dollars in my lifetime. Why do I need more? And you start to just wonder, like, why am I pushing so hard? Why am I setting myself up for all this frustration and emotional disappointment and just these challenges? And I've had to reframe all of this very differently. And I've had to really start to look at myself in the mirror and realize that it's not my job to snap the whip and to motivate my team, right? It's my job as a leader to give my team a vision and to inspire them towards that vision and to give them opportunities to step up and grow. It's not my job to make them do that. It's my job to set the standard. It's my job to set clear roles and responsibilities and expectations. And it's my job to support them and to be a safety net so that they don't fail. That's all I can do. And there's a great quote. If there's breakdown in your team, first stop, it's somebody's fault on the team. But second stop, if it's continuing to happen, that's the boss's fault because now you're tolerating. So if you're frustrated with things that are happening over and over, there's an opportunity for you to ask yourself, why am I tolerating? What am I afraid of? Why am I afraid to maybe hold someone accountable? Why am I afraid to push somebody? Shoot, if I push this individual, shoot, I might lose them. And then I don't know if they want to be pushed. And maybe I should just be content. So there's been so many lessons from this one thing, but one of the biggest ones is that it's my job as a leader to create opportunity and to inspire my team to take those opportunities. But I can't force them. I can't force anybody to want more. I can't force anybody to do something that they might not want to do. And I have to be detached from that. I have to create the right environment. And this environment is going to be somebody who tolerates less. Because if I tolerate, I set a poor example for the entire company. And other people see, oh, wow, Vince doesn't call him out on that. Maybe he won't call me out on that. So this is an opportunity again to help bring the best out of others. Number three, whew, man, how do you spin this one positively? Number three is dealing with $1 million in departure tax. So I am not a tax expert attorney, but we have somebody. And when you exit the country, if it's sent of your assets within your business get taxed. It's like being in an abusive relationship. And when you say goodbye, you don't just walk away with everything in your bank account. No, you got to split things up. And because there's a treaty between the United States and Canada, it's probably with other countries too, that when I leave the country, when I cease my residency here and I take residency in another country, I pay a departure tax. Oh, Vince, there must be ways around this. If you can show me one or introduce me to one, everybody I've spoken to is that there will be a tax based on what is in your bank account. Unless there's probably drain your account slowly. And then we've looked at all these different angles. At the end of the day, this tax is here to stay. And it's a steep penalty for leaving the country. And we had to sell our farm as part of the reason because we put our farm in our business name. So we had to sell that. That was a part of the reason we sold our farm. Did quite well on that. But I have a lot of my own money in the business and that's going to get taxed. So how do you frame giving the government that you're not a fan of $1 million? Like literally, not, hey, I can finance this over the next 50 years. No, this is due in two installments here and then here, 30 days apart. Holy crap. Just like that? I thought paying a business coach $100,000 a year was like crazy. Try paying $1 million out of your bank account just to leave the country. You think that makes you question if you're doing the right, if you want to do what you're trying to do? So all this to say is these are the blessings that I get to deal with. These are what you call first world problems. All right. And God's called me out on a lot of feelings of unfairness, anger, contempt. Who does the government think they are taking away all? Like they believe that because you were living in Canada, that you owe us this money because this is why you were successful living here. I run an online business, right? I'm not utilizing like a building. 90% of my team is in the United States. I can function this business anywhere. So you can imagine the feelings of anger I have to having to give the money for a reason that isn't warranted in my mind, at least. Does that make sense? So I've had to reframe this. Wow, these are the problems that I get to deal with these days. How far I've grown from the days of working for literally $10 an hour at the Guelph YMCA as a personal trainer. Now I have to thank God I've got Flavia, because I don't understand what the heck they're saying on these calls. And my wife takes all the notes and she figures out all this stuff. And we got a very smart guy. We actually had to go through two people before we found this guy who's helped us alleviate it a bit, but not much. That's another lesson in trusting but not verifying. The people that we fired before cost us a ton of money and they didn't get us anywhere. They're like, oh yeah, you just got to pay it. And that's your advice. Just that's it. You have no solutions, no strategies or anything. No, this is just what you do. I'm like, and now I'm got to pay you to tell me that. Anyways, they got both fired and this guy is much better at what he does. All right. Number four, a little personal one here, a dip in renewal rates. If you're a business owner, a key part of revenue increase, especially when you're in that 3 to 6 million a year level, is having more people stay than leave. All right. Or else all you're doing is you're bringing people in on the front end, people are leaving on the back end. So you got a couple hundred members. You always have a couple hundred members because you have an equal amount of people coming in the front door versus coming in the back door. So the companies that really scale to the 10, 15, 20 million dollar level, the coaching companies, will likely have a very good back end. Very good. I'm just going to share openly here. We made some changes to our deliverables that we felt were necessary to improve scalability. And some of our deliverables were very time consuming and profit robbing, if you will, very expensive. Our coaching program was really built around one of the key deliverables is inciting everybody to their own dedicated coach. We found that was a huge discrepancy in the marketplace. And a lot of people were complaining about that. We solved that problem. All right. Long story short, we decided to bring on more support, office hours, just getting support, but just in a different format. I thought people were going to receive it with open arms. And typically people don't complain. They don't like, they'll say something, people, then a couple more people, and you feel, hey, I don't know if they like this idea, but people vote with their feet. That's a big lesson. People will vote with their feet. And people didn't like the change. It resulted in a dip in renewal rates. What we're normally getting, we didn't get this past year, which was really hard because I'm connected with my members. I know them by name. I know their stories. I engage with them. I care about them. So when you see good people leave your community, it's sad. It's sad. You've probably, if you're a business owner and you have a coaching program, you all know what it feels like to have somebody in your community who's been there, who's had success, and then decides to go elsewhere. And I know that because I've been that person too. I've had a lot of coaches and I don't stay with them forever. I go from program to program as well. And I know it's a part of the business, but it still stings. And it still stings. And what stings is why. So in my mind is it could have been avoided. And if we got maybe a little slower and hey guys, this is what we're thinking about doing. What do you all think? We made the decision quickly. So that, first of all, how did I frame this positively? How do you frame a dip in revenue positively? Guess what? I'm not in this for the short term. I'm not looking to cash out next year. I'm looking to build an empire. I'm looking to build something sustainable. So these lessons need to land personally. I might've heard somebody say, I bet you've all heard the saying before, don't fix what's not broken, Vince. Yet, now it makes sense in the situation. It makes complete sense. Oftentimes, when the advice doesn't have a context, it doesn't land. So what I learned is that one, don't fix what's not broken. Move a little slower, ask for feedback, make sure if you're about to make a shift in direction with the ship that everybody, all the crew members on board for the most part are like ready to receive. Like, oh yeah, that makes sense. That's totally cool. Yeah, go for it. No, you're going to do what? No, thank you. I won't like that. I'll be gone if you do that. So what this has also done is when you see that happen, you can immediately go into scarcity mindset. Oh shit. Oh crap. Oh no. Look who left. Oh my God, our program sucks. Our program's sinking. Oh no, I need to go on a different career. This is never going to work. Yeah, guess what? Even the big guys get those ideas. Don't let them fool you. All right? They just don't share them because they think, yeah, I got to put on. But guess what? It eats them up inside. For me, I gain fulfillment, knowing that I'm speaking to somebody who needs to hear this right now. And what I've learned through this last couple months is that God saved me from a mindset of scarcity. And he has opened my mind to how much he wants to bless me and how big the world is and how much opportunity there is. Even during a recession, during oppression, during depression, during all this crazy stuff in the world right now, we're still expanding. We're still doing great things. We're not sinking. Never going to sink, all right? Unless God wants it to sink, this boat's not sinking. And I think this whole experience just reminded me of, wow, focus on growth. Focus on what you can control. Take lessons. Some lessons are more painful than others. And I'm grateful for this. In the moment, you're not like, yes, this is awesome. This is amazing. Shoot, so-and-so just left. That's not how it sounds on the calls. Believe me. Ask any of my team members. It does not sound like that. But when you fast forward a couple months and you start to see, wow, all this hard work we've put in, all the relationships we've built, all the good work we're doing in the community, all the events that we've run, the testimonies, like this ship is not getting sunk, all right? And these lessons only make us stronger. Number five, builders installing $120,000 worth of the wrong cabinets and holding us responsible. A lot of you guys asked me for this whole story. I'll just share this one a lot quicker than the others. So we're building a home, if you don't know, Franklin, Tennessee. It's going to be closing really soon, December 16th, as a matter of fact. We got to go do the walkthrough next week. And it's crazy how fast that build of the house has gone. In the process, long story short, we signed off on what's called the CA, the client agreement, on certain cabinets that we thought were inset cabinets, which were the cabinets that my wife picked out. And from the very beginning, showed pictures of, these are the cabinets we want. They were added to the file. But I guess in the client agreement where we did in fact sign off on it, it didn't specify inset. But because we had the visual, we had the picture of inset, we just assumed that what else would they be? And they were not inset cabinets. They looked like IKEA cabinets. No offense, anybody who does IKEA, but when you're spending the amount of money we're spending on our home, you're not buying IKEA furniture, okay? I'm sure you would do the same. And they were built out. It just looked really cheap. They looked really bad. And first things first, like my wife was very upset. And she basically said, Vince, you need to, she called me while I was in Las Vegas. Amazing wife. She didn't bother me during the event. She let me know after the event. She said, hey, you need to fly to Tennessee now and talk to the builder. And my wife's been doing the bulk of the communication, like 90%. And she's pretty good at expressing dissatisfaction. Hey, this has to change. This has to change. But this was $120,000. And they said, we're not budging. They said, we're not budging. We can take everything out, but you'll be responsible for replacing the install and the cabinets. I'm like, what the heck am I going to do with $120,000 worth of cabinets? Am I going to freaking have a garage sale? So I had to have a talk. And the talk was, hey, I understand you want me to take ownership of this entire mistake, but guess what? There was a communication fallout and I can't take the full burden. Would you be opposed to us finding a fair solution where we meet somewhere in the middle? And that's what happened. They were not happy, but they did deal with it. We met in the middle. So it became a $60,000 mistake, a $60,000 lesson, and not a $120,000 lesson. And we just found out there might be somebody who wants to buy the cabinets. And now I'm freaking selling cabinets. So hopefully we get like maybe 40 grand for them and maybe comes down to a $20,000 mistake mix up. But the positive in all of this, what was the positive in all this? This gave me a chance to step up for us and for our family and to show my wife, hey, Vinny can rise to the occasion. And I didn't throw my wife under the bus and say, oh, you take care of this, Flav. Just tell them this. Do you want me to send a text message? No, when we got to the office, I tell the builder, say, can we just step aside here for a second and chat before we pick up the new cabinets? And he said, okay, let me call the boss. And then he called the boss. He said, my boss isn't happy, but here's where we're going to meet you. And man, it was such a great moment. Little opportunities to just step up and provide and protect for your family. Like my wife, she did not want to have that conversation and I didn't expect her to, but I won't lie to you. There was a bit of hesitation and timidity that, wow, I'm actually like, what if they say no? What if it's a confrontation? Do I have the balls to say, hell no, this is not right. We need a resolution here. And I did that. So he gave me just a reminder that God gives us a spirit of power and control, not one of timidity. And that's something that I want to own in all areas of my life. We're almost there, guys. I think we got two more. There we go. Two more and we'll wrap this bad boy up. So number six is our house has not sold and it's been on the market for over, I think, 5 months now. I got one guy who's coming to see the house a fourth time. What do you need to see a house for four times? Holy geez. I'm tempted to just tell him no. No, make your freaking decision up. Anyways, that's the closest we've got to an offer. Guy coming to the house for his fourth visit tomorrow night. He wanted to come on the third visit to freaking see the lights on at night. I'm like, dude, look at the freaking pictures. All right. Anyways, you can see I'm a bit frustrated about us not selling our home because what it means is I'm going to be carrying two mortgages very soon. And nobody wants to be paying two mortgages. And the reality is that I don't think personally the marketplace is going to get better next year. I think it'll be sometime in early 2024. I think interest rates are going to either increase or continue to go up and make it really hard for people to get into homes. So I've had to try and figure out how do I frame carrying two mortgages because I don't want to sell this house at a discount or a big loss. So we'll probably just take it off the market and put it up for an Airbnb. That's just now a pain to manage when you're in a new country. So how have I reframed this positively? If you go back to when I was 19 years old, Western University, living with literally eight guys at 3 Audrey Street, I could hardly afford $300 a month on rent. That's right. I couldn't afford $400 a month. I had to find somewhere where I paid $300 a month in rent. I didn't even have that. And God has been saving me from this mindset of self-reliance where I'll figure it out. This is all on me. And just trusting and having more faith and knowing things are going to work out. I don't understand why, but this has required me to pray louder. This has required me to pray bolder. And I believe that God wants me to do this because he wants to remind me that he wants the glory. He doesn't want me to bang my chest and say, hey, look at me. We did this and this, and it was a breeze. And it was all because of my action taking, because I'm a massive action taker. Come on. Don't fool yourself. Yes, you got to take massive action, but there's also a big guy at play in your life. And I truly believe that. So I believe that God wants the glory. And through this story, I've been able to share this more and more. And you better believe that God's going to get a massive thank you and massive praise and worship and recognition when this deal gets closed. Because, man, we've been doing as much as we can in our power, and it's not happening. It's not moving. This is going to require some God's strength. And I think that's what God wants from us. He wants us to have less reliance on ourselves. The reason that God puts uncertainty in your life is because he wants you to put more confidence in him. And I don't know about you, but I hate uncertainty. I don't like it. I hate uncertainty. It creates the most stress and anxiety. It can trigger panic attacks. Uncertainty sucks, but I believe God allows it in our life because it forces us to increase our confidence in something outside of our own power. Because relying on your own power is very dangerous. Yes, you have power. You need to use it, but to rely on your power, it's very risky. The last thing here is filling 3 live events in 1 year was harder than I anticipated. And we have a large community. We have between all 3 coaching programs, over 1,000 active students. Between over the last couple of years, probably, it's hard to say, probably 2,000 to 2,500 clients who've come through the doors of our different coaching programs, but over 1,000 active clients between all of our coaching programs. And when you have that many people and you announce a live event, you expect it to fill up really freaking quick. You expect people to book their hotels and to confirm and to bring guests. And when you start to run events, you will see, I don't know, maybe you're a bigger celebrity than me and filling your live events are easier, but I have dug into this over the last year. And I've heard some crazy stories when I was trying to manage my expectations around filling events. And some of the, I won't name the individual, but I heard one guy who's a very big deal, you know, way bigger following, way bigger revenue. And he told me some of the craziest things he had to do to fill the event. And he had to start announcing that the event was sold out when it wasn't even a fraction sold out just to get people to take action. I'm like, really? Oh, when you said it was sold out, I actually believed you. I thought it was like fully sold out. I was like, no, man, we were like not even a quarter and I had an arena to fill. I'm like, holy crap. So you basically had to say it was sold out to get people to take action. So, yeah, it was really hard. And that was reassuring to me. But one thing is, like, you don't have a clue of what's going on. That's the first lesson of what other people are actually doing. You don't know what they say on social media to be true. And what this really reminded me of was just to never take my audience's time, to never take your attention, and never to take your trust for granted. The fact that we have so many people come to our events, book hotels, book flights, like, I will never take that for granted. And I think God is saving me from an attitude of entitlement. And I think, yeah, we work so hard and people should, I put out so much free information and we do so much for our members. They should just come. And then there's jealousy of it. How do those guys effortlessly fill the event? I think God's saving me from those feelings, because those feelings are not going to come from a leader that leads a large organization. And I believe that God has great plans for me. He's got big plans for me. And he needs to fix those attitudes inside me in order for me to be able to do more. God can't expand somebody's territory if he's jealous of somebody else's territory that he's blessing. I should be happy for them. I shouldn't have those feelings. And who am I to be entitled to think everybody should just pick my event over all the other great events out there? There's a lot of options out there. I get it. And I think this experience has really forced me to swallow some humble pie and to be grateful for the people that do come and to serve them and to take care of the people that are booking their flights, that are getting on, booking their hotel rooms and bringing guests and showing up eagerly with pen and paper, ready to learn and entrusting their futures into my team's hands and my hands and our guest speakers' hands. Wow. That's what I need to focus on. That's what I need to focus on. Hey friends, this brings us to the end, and maybe you can take a moment right now to share with me, or do a little exercise with yourself. I said share with me because we are live right now on Facebook. So if you'd like to share with me in the comments below one tough situation that you need to reframe into a positive light, you can do that right now. For everybody listening on the podcast, I'd just recommend sitting down and taking maybe 3 to 5 perceived negatives in your life and to reframe them and to practice gratitude, which is all about your frame of reference. And when you take a moment to reframe your circumstances with how far God has brought you and what he's saving you from, you can get grateful real, real quick. So I hope this was a good positive word for you today. And we would love to have you at our Cancun Mastermind. If you're an online health, fitness, or nutrition coach, or if you're aspiring to be, whether you're just getting started, you're in the growth stage, you're in the scaling stage, we will have amazing trainings and opportunities for you to learn at this event. It's 3 days. It's January 19th, 20th, and 21st. We've booked a beautiful hotel, the nicest one in Cancun, JW Marriott. And if you'd like more information, go to sevenfiguremastermind.ca/Cancun. I will put a link in the show notes below so you can get all the information. And I can't think of a better way to kick off 2023 so that you can overcome the oppression, the depression, the inflation, the increased interest rates that are happening and that are going to make it even more challenging for people to spend money on your coaching services. People are more indecisive. People are taking a longer time to decide where they put their budget. And if you don't know how to position yourself and how to get leads and how to nurture leads and how to create a great program and how to close during these times, 2023 is going to be way rougher than necessary. So I encourage you to get your butt to Cancun, make it a family trip. We have an all-inclusive package, which means it's all you can eat and all you can drink, plus your hotel room. And we've got crazy great rates, and it's really affordable right now to fly to Cancun. It's $270 to fly to Cancun from Toronto right now. So I can't imagine other places how cheap it is to get on a plane and go enjoy some beautiful sun and get connected with positive people who are going to inspire your year. And I can't wait to spend some time with you and help you make more money and have a massive impact in 2023. Please share this podcast with anybody you feel benefit from it. And I'm super grateful for you. And I'll talk to you all soon. Ciao, ciao. Yo-Yo, thank you so much for listening. I hope you got a ton of value. And as a token of my appreciation for enjoying the show, if you don't mind leaving a 5-star rating as well as a genuine review, whether it's a sentence or a paragraph, that's up to you. I would like to extend my gratitude by sending you a free sample of my all-day energy formula, Preload. It is the world's only all-day energy and focus formula, and you will love it. All you got to do is head on over to iTunes, leave a rating, leave a review, take a screenshot, and then send it over to me on my Instagram account at Vince Del Monte with your home address, and we will get that shipped out. You are amazing. Thank you, and we'll see you in the next episode.